Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is your favorite day of the week. I hope it's your favorite day of the week. It's certainly mine. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. Of course, I'm in the studio, which can only mean Todd is out there on campus looking for some unsuspecting college students to ambush with the truth of the gospel. And I know what you're thinking, Jimmy, why do you get to stay in the studio and Todd's out there doing the Lord's work? Look, somebody, as my grandfather used to say, somebody's got to stay around and soak up all the bald air. So that's what I'm good at doing. Anyway, enough about me. Let's check in with Todd and see who he's trying to strike up a friendly conversation with.
We are at Georgia Tech, and there's a young man sitting up. Ooh, these are big steps. Sitting up here, eating a, you brought your own lunch. You must be Italian.
No, I'm not.
Russian?
No.
German?
The Russian was pretty close.
One of the Eastern Bloc countries?
Scandinavia.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Because the nose.
Yeah.
And I can point that out because I got the same one.
Yeah.
Is that a Polish nose?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a Polish nose.
Really?
That's what I'm told.
Huh. Sorry for staring at it.
No.
But it looks shockingly similar to my nose, and this
Actually, it kind of does.
Nose.
Yeah.
All right, dude, so you brought your own lunch. Everybody else buys food around here.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
But you don't, because you're a budget-conscious guy. And you know why? Because you're married and you've got responsibilities.
Exactly. I'm a grad student, too, so I'm on a completely different financial,
You got to pay
routine.
For your own stuff.
Yeah, I got to.
The kids are on here with their government lunch cards.
Exactly. And
how long have you been married?
Parents' money. A little over a year.
Really? Congratulations. How's
Thank
it going?
Thank
that
you.
First year's a toughie.
You know, it is a toughie. I'm not gonna lie about that. We spent a little bit of time away as I was finishing up another degree before I came here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, overall things are going well. We're getting through it.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why did you get married? Now, don't just answer that because you loved her. I'm sure you do. But what's the point? Why marriage?
What's the point?
What is marriage? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, you kind of put me on the spot here for a lunchtime question.
No. Because, most of us do it.
Yeah.
We get married, and we never really stop and go, why am I doing it? We see everybody else doing it. We like a girl. We want to be with her for forever, and so we get married because that's kind of what you do. But where did this whole concept of marriage come from? Where did it originate, and what's the point? Have you ever pondered?
I've asked myself that question, why we go through the whole, institution of marriage before. I'm sure it stems from some ancient custom that, so on and so forth.
Where'd you get married?
We got married it was in Massachusetts, a small town in Massachusetts, yeah.
In what sort of facility?
It was a chapel.
What kind?
It was a really picturesque chapel on a hill.
What religion?
They don't serve to a particular religion. We tried to originally get married in my wife's church, but they were undergoing renovations, so we had to find a place,
okay.
That would serve the purpose. So.
All right, here, I'm going to lay this on you and see what you think of this.
Okay.
Here's what I think that ancient tradition is.
Okay.
Right? I think, ready for this?
Okay.
God created marriage.
Okay.
All right, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, you know that story? He describes a man and a woman coming together and cleaving to one another. Then what we find out in the New Testament, I don't know if you're a Bible guy or not, but you got the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
New Testament.
Yep, I've read the Bible a few times, yeah.
In the New Testament, it actually says in Ephesians chapter 5 that marriage is a picture of something. God has you playing the role of Jesus Christ as the man. And your wife is supposed to be playing the role of the church. The bride of Jesus is the church. Jesus loves the church, and the church loves Jesus. It's kind of a great big play that God created, and you're playing the role of Jesus, and your wife is playing the role of the church so that other people can understand Jesus' love for the church and vice versa.
Mm. Absolutely is.
Yep. So there's a lot of symbolism that is involved in the covenant of marriage. There's even more than that. The meal that you had afterwards at the reception, after the covenant was cut, they would have a covenant meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you fed each other the cake and it was all romantic and hopefully you didn't smash it into her face?
Nah, she would have killed me.
That's right.
She wouldn't have stood for that. She wouldn't have stood for that.
That's covenant language.
Mm.
For instance, they would even exchange their outerwear. Their guard. They would have a cloak that they would wear. Their robe was important because they'd use it as a pillow. They would use it as a blanket. Mm-hmm. But they would actually swap, basically by saying, everything I have is now yours, and everything you have is mine. And that's probably part of the vow that you made. And in the old days, before people used to do prenuptial agreements, that's the way it was. Two came together and they shared everything, because that's biblical covenant concept. So most of the stuff you did in your wedding was actually from biblical covenant.
That's true.
You didn't expect that today with your sandwich, did you?
No, I did not. No, no.
All right. Let me ask you a question, young man. What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Mechanical engineering.
Because, let me guess, you want to be a mechanical engineer? Oh, come on.
Not really. I mean, I guess, you know, well...
I thought I was being all smart.
No. I mean, I feel like the problems... Not that I want to be a mechanical engineer, but I think mechanical engineering most was the best suit for my talents and interests. So it's not that I want to be a mechanical engineer, it's just that mechanical engineering matches me.
So ultimately, as you live your life and you die and the books are closed, the tombstone reads what? He used his gifts as a mechanical engineer making something. Or he was a great husband. Or he was a great religious guy. Or he was a what?
Well, I mean, I'd say I'd want, you know, something like that to reflect, you know, being a good husband and a good father. I want to teach. So I want to teach on the university level. So I'm doing my PhD right now.
Hmm. So what does it say? It's got one line. Your tombstone, you've got, because you know you only get so many letters. Unless you get one of those.
Well, maybe
really
I could
tombstones.
Spring for the extra lines then, maybe.
All right, I'll give you two lines, because you will have died at the PhD. So what does the tombstone say?
You know, I can't pick that right now. I mean, I guess I'd want it to reflect on four things. Being a husband, a father, a teacher, and a philanthropist. I want to, after I'm done with school, even while I'm during school, I want to try to get away to use the knowledge and the gifts that I've acquired, you know, elsewhere.
Okay, why?
Well, I mean, I guess it really just comes down to, you know, the desire to have a positive impact on other people. I mean, I guess that'd
why?
Be the, you know, and I guess it just kind of comes from a belief of mine that, you know, we're here to try to serve some good in the world. So if I can go through my life...
You're here to do good. Why? Is there a reward someday for that?
You know, I know this might go against your radio show, but I don't see that there's a, you know, a particular reward for my you know, selfless deeds here.
So why are you doing them?
Well, what's the alternative?
You could live like madman.
Absolutely.
Eat, drink, and be merry.
Which would make the only gratitude, well, would be for myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and no one else would gain anything from that.
Why not, though? It is.
It just
option.
Seems like a waste when, you know, you can have a positive impact doing something for somebody else.
I'm assuming that you're probably an agnostic, maybe an atheist. Is that a fair conclusion, based on what you just said?
No. It's kind of weird when people ask me this question. I have kind of developed my own set of beliefs that I don't identify myself with any particular religion.
It's more common these days.
But I could see there are a lot of religions where there's a lot of similarities, you know, from Christianity to Buddhism to Zenism, like all these different things really combined into something that I feel like that I truly believe. So it's kind of like, it's not picking and choosing, it's based on my own internal,
but you don't,
you know, without any outside influence, really.
When you die, yeah. Do you think there's an afterlife?
I don't know that yet.
Okay.
I haven't been able to.
You want to be a teacher.
Yep.
That means you like truth, don't you?
I do. Right. I do.
So I'm going to lay something down, and you tell me if you agree with this is truth or not.
Okay.
I'll do it up front, all right?
Okay.
I don't think that all religions are basically the same, all right?
I agree with that. There's some big differences, yeah.
Which means that either they are all wrong or one of them is right, but they can't all be kind of good, and you can kind of pick and choose. Because they teach such disparate things. They are so completely different. Buddhism, which teaches lose your desires, which is always ironic to me that you should desire to lose your desires, but even so, lose your desires, that gets rid of suffering, and then ultimately you will reincarnate into nothing. Islam says you can try all you want, but you're not guaranteed a paradise unless you die in a jihad, and then you will be rewarded if you've kept the five pillars and died in a jihad in paradise with 72 virgins. Now, that isn't even close to Buddhism. Christianity is, like, way radical from all of them. It goes back to that whole Jesus and the church business. If I could, here, let's do this. We got a square. Here's a big square in front of us right here. Okay. See this square right here? I'm going to put Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and Mormonism and Roman Catholicism into this big box right here. And the reason I'm going to do that is because those religions all teach one consistent thing. Do good, and when you die, there will be a reward. Do bad, and there will be some sort of punishment or regression. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big theme. It could be put underneath work righteous. You earn righteousness by your works. All right?
Mm-hmm.
In that little box right there, I'm going to put biblical Christianity. This box says something completely different. This box says you cannot do good. All you have merited for yourself is punishment. And you are entirely hopeless. That's Christianity. That's everything else. Now, before I go any further with that little box, I want to see if we can find agreement with that statement that you are very bad.
All right. Well, hold on just a second. I hate to interrupt. I know they're getting into some pretty heavy stuff right now. Hang tight. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Protz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions, and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we cover your prayers even more. wretched.org/fellows.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Are you terrified of sharing the gospel? Do you feel unprepared to witness in this sin-sick culture? Well, just know that you're not alone, which is why we're pointing you to Terrified 2, a powerful DVD resource that equips you with the tools that Jesus himself used to fulfill the Great Commission. It's packed with engaging teaching and real-life examples that will teach you how to humbly help others understand their need for a Savior, proclaim the gospel of forgiveness through Christ, and to call people to repentance and faith. We'll give you answers to tough questions and common objections as well. Terrified 2 really does take the fear out of evangelism by showing you the biblical model for witnessing. It's the same approach used by Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, Ray Comfort, and others. Don't let your fear or terror hold you back anymore. Get Terrified 2 today along with the study guide at wretched.org. That's wretched.org, and gain the confidence you need to share the gospel with anyone, even complete strangers.
Attributes of God. God is a person. He is not a detached, impersonal force. He is a conscious, self-aware being with a mind and a will. He has made himself known through Scripture, and most of all, he wants you to know him
personally. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. If you're just now tuning in and joining us, Todd has been having pretty interesting conversation with the mystery guy. We didn't catch his name, but we do know Todd interrupted his lunch. Anyway, we didn't get his name, and before the break, they were kind of wading out into the deep end of the theological pool, talking a little bit about the purpose of marriage, the meaning of life, and Todd was really getting into the good person test. That's exactly where we left off. And you know exactly where this is likely about to leave. Todd is setting the stage right now. I know you're on the edge of your seat just like I am. Let's get back out to the campus now and see how this shakes out.
Would you consider yourself to be a very bad person?
You know, I don't consider myself to be a very bad person.
I'm going to try to persuade you.
I'm not perfect. I know I have my flaws and I make my mistakes.
But think you're a good guy.
I think I'm a relatively good guy.
I know. Yeah. Okay. And that's exactly what the Bible says. That every man will profess his own goodness with his mouth. But the Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Because the Bible says that we are all bad. And I'm going to try to reason with your conscience and see if we can find agreement. You ready? How many lies have you told in your life?
You know, I don't think I'd be able to put a number on it. I try not to lie all that often, but, you know, there are certainly, you got to, making your way through modern life without telling a half-truth or not something that's not full truth, which is a lie, is extremely difficult, if not impossible.
No argument, but that doesn't change the fact that you've done it.
I've lied.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you've lied and told lots of lies, that makes you a...
Well, that would make me a liar.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think I'm a liar.
But you've just confessed to me that you've lied.
I have lied.
Right.
You can do something once, and I could water ski once in my life, but I'm not going to say I'm a water skier.
Well, probably under the definition of like a professional full-time water skier. But if somebody has murdered one person, wouldn't you call them a murderer?
Now we're kind of bringing in the severity of the action or the event that happened.
Fair enough, but hold that thought for a minute. That's a very good observation, but hold that thought.
Okay.
Have you ever stolen anything?
No.
Ever?
No, never.
Download music, money from your parents' pockets, stole it from your brother or sister?
Well, you know, I mean, downloading, I've downloaded music. That's a good point.
Because it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't mean robbing a bank.
So I didn't buy... the right to own that music, so I guess
I won't ask you to answer this because you're a married man.
Okay.
But the Bible says that you don't need to have sex outside of marriage.
Okay.
The Bible says you just need to look at a woman and lust, and it's like committing adultery in your heart, because God doesn't just look at what we do externally, it's even what we think in our hearts. So if you have ever, before getting married, while you're married, have ever looked at another woman and lusted, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Well, geez, you got me there too.
That's it. Of course. All right. If you've ever taken God's name in vain, have you done that? Use God's name in a loose, kind of casual way?
You know I have. It's not something I like to do. But I know that I have once or twice out of anger. But yeah.
All right. Yeah. And God says, I will not hold him blameless who takes my name in vain. Because the Bible says that unlike in today's society where people get away with murder, nobody's going to get away with murder. It is appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. You'll die and you will stand before God alone. The just judge of all the world, the creator of the universe, who has kept track of every deed you've done in darkness, every thought you've ever had, and every good thing that you failed to do, he will have it recorded, and the books will be open on your life. Now here's the question. Not do you see yourself as a good person, but does God see you as a good person? What will he conclude if you've lied and lusted and stolen and blasphemed his name?
Well, the God from the biblical Christianity that you described in that square right there would consider me a wicked person.
You're correct. You're right.
From every definition that you've given me.
Now, do you remember when you said it depends on the severity of the crime?
I did,
The reality is it doesn't just depend on the severity of the crime, because there are different crimes that are more severe. You're correct. Because, you know, you can murder somebody, but the Bible says you can commit murder in your heart by just being angry with somebody. And there's a difference between just thinking a nasty thought and actually murdering somebody.
Yeah.
but they're both wrong. But they're different in severity. But here's another part of the equation that you should understand. It's not just the crime that I've committed. It's the one against whom I've committed the crime that can increase my punishment.
Okay.
If I tell a lie to my child, absolutely nothing happens to me. If I tell a lie to my wife, I sleep on the couch. I tell a lie to my boss, I get fired. I tell a lie to the government, I get put in jail. I've committed the same crime, received a greater punishment.
Yep.
Because of the one against whom I've committed the crime. Our lies, our little white lies that we think are no big deal, are horrible because of the one against whom we've committed them, the God of the universe. So the fine becomes increased because of the character of the one against whom we've committed our crime.
I see.
All right? Now, you're a guilty guy, just like the rest of us would be.
Okay.
God should punish you because he sees you as bad. It's you'd be like a criminal saying, but I'm good. And the judge goes, but I got all the evidence and you're self-deluded. Look at the evidence, man.
Yeah.
And agree with the judge. You're not a good man. You're just like the rest of us. You're a bad man.
Okay.
And that's what Christianity teaches right there. And God gave you a conscience to know that.
Okay.
Now, that's the difference between these two right here. These say, be good. You'll get moved ahead. This one says, you're bad. You're getting moved down to hell. But if that's the end of the story, we are in such desperate trouble. Because all of us sin and fall short of God's standard. Everybody does. I do. Dude, you're 27. You think you've sinned? Are you kidding me? You should see my book. It's packed. We would all be destined to hell. But there's more to the story. Do you remember why you got married? The Jesus and the church business?
To allow everyone to see the relationship between Jesus and the church every time they look at me and my wife.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Because Jesus bought the church. The church is filled with people who have repented and trusted him because they believe that he died on a cross 2,000 years ago to take the punishment that they deserve for sinning against a high and holy God. That Jesus Christ, the God-man, came as your representative to take the wrath of God on your behalf. The good man died for the bad man. Your bad sins got put on the good man so that if you will repent and trust Jesus, God will make you a member of his church, and then the world will see how good God is because he's forgiven a sinner like you. The church is filled up with people who have realized, I'm a part of the wretched club. I'm a bad man. I'm a bad woman. I'm not good at all. I've done dirty, terrible things. And I need to be forgiven by God, and my conscience tells me so. And God has provided a way for you to be forgiven. Because if he just turned a blind eye to justice, he would be unjust. And the foundation of his throne is righteousness and judgment and justice. And he's not going to let bad guys get away with anything. That's why he says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. But he's rich in mercy and he's good. And he wants to save a bad guy like you. So that the world can look at you and know how good God is. He wants to make you a member of his church because Jesus shed his blood to purchase you for his own. So that someday when you die, the Bible says Jesus and the church will be united together, if you will, in a great big heavenly marriage. The wonderful intimacy that you share with your wife, that's what Jesus wants with you.
Okay.
And he purchased you. He died and shed his blood for you. But you must agree with the story. You must agree that it's true. You must agree that you're a bad guy, that Jesus died on a cross, that he's the only true religion, and all these other religions in the box are false. And you must repent, which means to turn from your sins, not that you become perfect, but you turn from them because you don't want to do them anymore. And you put your trust in Jesus. And the Bible says all of his goodness gets credited to your account, and all of your badness gets credited to his account. And you should respond to this message because that's the most amazing offer that you've ever had in your 27 years. And that's the purpose of life.
Okay.
Please, I earnestly plead with you as I leave you. Think about this. Look at the creation and realize there's a creator. Listen to your conscience and know that you've sinned against him. Agree with God. And then look at Jesus Christ hanging on a cross to die for you, a sinner. And it should break your heart. And you should repent and trust him. Not because you're afraid of hell, but because he has been so kind to save you from hell. This is a message of kindness, and I'm pleading with you to simply consider my words and not let your eyes close tonight without making a decision about what is true. Fair enough.
I can do that for you. Yeah.
Pray for that young man. I know we didn't get his name, but Todd managed to cover the entire scope of human history in just a few short minutes. I mean, he went from creation to the cross to eternity and even talked a little bit about marriage for good measure. So it's moments like these that remind me of why we do exactly what we do. Look, we're not just here to make snarky comments or crack jokes, although if I'm being honest, I probably tell the best dad jokes in the world. But anyway, that's not why we're here. We are here to proclaim the greatest news the world has ever heard, and that's through Jesus Christ, even the worst sinners can be forgiven and transformed. And go back and listen to that conversation again if you didn't catch the last part, because Todd didn't just leave this young man with fire and brimstone, but he pleaded with him to respond to the kindness of God. That's the heart of the gospel right there, folks. All right, well, hang tight. We're not finished yet. We're just getting started here on Witness Wednesday. Much more still to come. Hang tight. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start with a stunning display. I don't know if I'm even going to call this stunning. A much expected display of biblical illiteracy and blatant disregard for God's word. The United Methodist Church has decided to lift its ban on LGBT clergy at their recent general conference. And it all comes into full view exactly what has been going on the last couple of years, because we've told you about the many thousands of Methodist congregations that have left the UMC. Well, this is why the UMC didn't fight too much against it. Delegates voted overwhelmingly 692-51 to remove the rule forbidding, quote, self-avowed practicing homosexuals from being ordained or appointed as ministers. So the Bible calls the practice of homosexuality sinful, and the continual practice of homosexuality would be ongoing unrepentant sin, which would make someone, according to 1 John, not even saved. Yet they can be ordained and appointed as ministers in the United Methodist Church now. A sad day when a denomination that claims to follow Christ chooses to ignore his clear teaching on sexual morality. But hey, wait, there's more. The pro-LGBTQ cohort at the convention also celebrated the passage of a petition that would remove any and all, quote, anti-LGBT petitions from the floor. So apparently they're not content with just promoting homosexuality. No. They want to make God himself trans and gay. It would be laughable if it weren't so tragic. The UMC now has clearly gone the way of the Episcopalian. It truly is heartbreaking to see an entire denomination deceived by Satan. Now, moving on to our next story, which is just as bad, if not even worse. A PhD student, no, it's not worse, but anyway, a PhD student studying poetry through a Marxist lens recently demanded, quote, humanitarian aid so her comrades wouldn't die of dehydration and starvation during campus protests. You heard all that right. The commies ran out of food immediately following their revolution, and that's so ironic, isn't it? It gets better. This student's dissertation is on fantasies of limitless energy in the transatlantic romantic imagination from 1760 to 1860. She wants to write a prehistory of metabolic rift, which was Marx's term for the disruption of energy circuits caused by industrialization under capitalism. I couldn't make this stuff up even if I tried, folks. Even the Babylon Bee would struggle to come up with something this completely absurd. But in more encouraging news, Governor Ron DeSantis and the state of Florida are suing the Biden administration and the Department of Education over the new Title IX rules that would force men into women's spaces and mandate their trans agenda in schools. The state of Florida is joined by the states of Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina in the lawsuit, arguing that the original intent of Title IX was to protect women, not men dressed up as women. That's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. And of course, Todd is still out on the campus of Georgia Tech. And we're going to get back out there now and see if he's found someone else to talk with. Hopefully, he gets this person's name.
Hey, young man. What are you doing sitting here? Are you waiting for somebody?
No.
Killing time.
Yeah.
Can I kill time with you for a moment?
Sure.
Can I ask you some questions on the radio while you're sitting here?
Sure.
Dude, my name's... Oh, nice to meet you.
Mike.
Oh, I'll take off my glasses. You shook my hand. Thanks for that, dude. Okay, I've got a philosophical, maybe a religious question for you. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to probe into that, okay? I'm going to get into your conscience right now.
Can I just
right
do, like, not a yes or no answer?
Sure.
Because, I mean, everyone makes mistakes.
I agree with you. Have you ever told lies in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. Like everybody else, I agree. Okay, so if you tell lies, or if I told lies, what would you call me? What type of a person would I be?
If you were a person who lies, I would call you a liar. At the same time, if you had to say something to me that wasn't completely true, and I know you're a nice guy or whatever, then I wouldn't call you a liar. Yeah, but
chances are pretty good you, like the rest of us, have done something to protect yourself mm-hmm. or to get out of trouble. That'd be flat-out lying.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be liars mm-hmm. for lying. Okay. Have you ever stolen anything in your life? Now, I don't mean robbing a bank.
Yeah, but sure. I've taken some things
stuff.
Before. Yeah,
okay.
Little stuff.
All right.
Yes,
going to dig in a little deeper.
Okay.
All right. On the campus, looking around, mm-hmm. if you've ever seen a woman and you've had X-rated thoughts about her, or thoughts that, yikes, if mom and dad knew about these, it would be kind of embarrassing. Has that ever happened to you?
I wouldn't say exactly the way you described it, but I mean, I do see cute girls, but honestly, I really don't, I don't really get those kinds of thoughts too often.
Never lust?
Not like X-rated lust, but more so rather just kind of trying to figure out who that person would be.
Mm-hmm.
But, I would have to see that person and know them a lot longer before those thoughts usually get to me.
Well, I want to ask you to answer this because this is private, but if you've ever looked at pornographic images or pornography mm-hmm. or viewed things that you shouldn't and dwelt on them, mm-hmm. that would be crossing that line into a sexual type of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, well, pretty much every other guy who's on the planet, you've done that along your life sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last question. This is a good person test to see if you're a good person.
Okay.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain, used it in a bad way,
mm-hmm.
kind of tossed it out there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The most typical ways you always hear people say, you know.
Yeah.
I've said that.
Okay.
So absolutely.
Okay, so there's four questions to see if you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And you admitted you're a liar. You've stolen things.
Mm-hmm.
You've committed adultery in your heart, because you don't need to commit the act in the eyes of God.
Okay.
You just need to think about it, because he knows what's going on inside of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if I could put a computer chip behind your ear and record every thought that went through your brain.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the same type of recording device. Knows
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a child, if you were ever naughty or lippy or sassy with your mom and dad,
right. You
were breaking another commandment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're a young man, but if you died right now, God just stops your heart from beating right now, and he opened up the books on your life. He took that computer chip and took a look at it. Would he find you innocent or guilty?
So are you saying that any bad thing I've done is, as soon as you've done something bad, it's bad? It doesn't matter how bad it was. There's no sort of relative.
Well, there can be relative.
Different, because
sure.
when you're the first time you asked me if I thought I was a good person, I would say yes, even though I have all these relatively tiny bad things going on in my life.
Okay, you're a smart guy, so I'm going to give you a scenario. You got to think this one through, though.
Okay.
Okay. Let's say I can't see one right now, but let's say a bug crawled across here and I stomped on it and just killed it.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to me? Do you think the police are going to come arrest me and throw me in jail?
Nothing would happen.
Nothing.
Other than you ended the bug's life.
Right. Okay. So now let's say that I go into downtown Atlanta
mm-hmm.
and I find a homeless person, somebody that society esteems as low value,
mm-hmm.
and I killed that person.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the police are going to arrest me?
Still probably not, and still the only thing you've probably done is taken a life of someone, but...
But chances are, if the justice system is decent, I'd probably go spend some time in prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for a ton of time, but probably for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say I flew to Washington and mm-hmm. assassinated a high-level official or the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty certain I'm going to jail, probably for the rest of my days.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's what we got. Murder of a bug,
mm-hmm.
Murder of a president.
Mm-hmm.
Same crime, different punishment.
Mm-hmm.
What changed in the scenario to make my punishment worse?
The perceived importance that other people put
Bingo.
On those.
Exactly. Now imagine this. Let's say God is the king of the universe and he made everything and he holds it all together by the power of his word. He holds you together. All of life functions because of him.
Okay.
He's the one who orchestrates governments and nations, everything. Mm-hmm. So when you break a law, you might perceive it as being very small, but because it's committed against the king of the universe, it's huge to him because he's infinitely high and holy. So you might think that lying is kind of not a big deal, or lusting in your heart, it doesn't hurt anybody.
I never said it wasn't a big deal.
But imagine how big it is to God.
Okay.
Right? So he judges, knows that you've broken those laws. He's perfectly holy and righteous. Those mm-hmm. are huge offenses. I mean, for instance...
Are you sure, though?
Because of his character and nature. Mm-hmm. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the commandment to not take his name in vain, because I will not hold him blameless who takes his name in vain. Mm-hmm. And the Bible also says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Mm-hmm. Again, not a big deal to us. You know, boys will be boys. We look, we lust. But God doesn't see it that way. He's a strict judge, and he's a holy judge. Mm-hmm. So if God is that nature and character, what should he do with you? Should he take you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
I guess he would send me to hell if that is... Are you getting with that, kind of?
Yeah, I'm trying to reason with you a little bit. I'm trying to actually get into your... You're a smart guy, but I'm trying to get to your conscience right now.
Okay.
This is kind of the missing information for me. I always kind of like the idea of believing in God because I had kind of a funny feeling I was going to a bad place. Mm-hmm. But I had wrong motives. I didn't get the whole picture. Mm-hmm. But it was when I understood that God is perfect and righteous and holy and just. Mm-hmm. And that I've been living like a real, like a bad guy, like a wretched man. Mm-hmm. And then when I realized something else, it just crushed me. Mm-hmm. That even though that I'd done all these things that are wrong and offensive to God, mm-hmm. not never thanked him for the food that I was eating or the air that I was breathing. Mm-hmm. And more than that, when I remembered that Jesus Christ, his son, died to forgive me, mm-hmm. and I'd been living like a rebel, mm-hmm. that's when the whole thing kind of got really clear to me. And that I felt terrible, not because I was afraid of hell, but because I had been saved. I'd been purchased and bought by a God who died to save me from hell. It was his goodness that I suddenly realized, wow, I've been living like a really bad man. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to maybe steer you toward a little bit. Mm-hmm. Realizing that you've been a bad man, but there's a good God who died to save you. Because mm-hmm. God's got to punish lawbreakers. He's got to do it. That's what love does. You know, whenever you see a criminal get off from a crime, it's like, oh, I hate that. God's not letting anybody go. He's going to punish all lawbreakers. Mm-hmm. But he's rich in mercy, and he wants to save sinners to demonstrate his kindness. So he sent his son, you've heard this story, mm-hmm. born of a virgin, to live under the law, to keep all the laws that you and I broke, mm-hmm. live perfectly, to be punished and beaten and hung on a cross on our behalf. Mm-hmm. God's wrath poured out on him for our sakes, so that a great exchange could happen. You could be forgiven, his righteousness credited to your account, your badness put on him, mm-hmm. so that you could be seen and be made the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. That's the good news of the gospel in a nutshell. Right. And God then commands us to repent, to say, I'm sorry, I have been living all for myself, all wrong. You turn from your sins. It's not that you suddenly become perfect,
right.
but you have a new attitude about him, and you put your trust in Jesus, the God who died to save you, mm-hmm. and he promises, if you'll do that, I will make you alive in me. I will adopt you as my child, and I will forgive all of your sins and grant you everlasting life because of what Jesus did. That's the good news of the gospel. So earlier, friend, you said, well, I'm not sure what to call it. The Bible right. says that God's the only true and living God.
Okay.
And you've got a court date with him. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in him, you're his enemy. And he's mm-hmm. going to pour out his wrath on you. But this day he offers you mercy. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure out if what I'm saying is true or not. Because mm-hmm. if it's true, right now you're in hot water. But mercy is available if you'll repent and trust him. So you need to figure out if what I'm saying is right.
Okay.
That's what I'd like to challenge you with today.
And that's another chat in the books on a Witness Wednesday. Wow. Be praying for Mike. Honestly, be praying for that young man. I'm not really sure how he responded to all of it. I really don't. I mean, he seemed to be tracking with Todd intellectually, but that doesn't necessarily mean his heart was in the right place or his heart was ready to embrace the truth that he was hearing. As most of you know, it's one thing to acknowledge guilt, but it's quite another thing to throw yourself on the mercy of Christ. So let's be praying for that young man. Ask God to continue pursuing him. Ask God to continue to open his eyes to the reality of his sin and the beauty of his son. And remember to do that for yourself as well. Let's not forget to thank God for His grace in our own lives. And let's continue remembering that we ourselves were once in Mike's shoes, dead in our trespasses and sins. But through His grace, we've been made alive together with Christ. Hang tight, folks. We're not quite finished yet. More Witness Wednesday is coming up in 3 minutes. It's a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today, and I have got some exciting news to share with you. Gospel Partners Media soon will look a bit different. Imagine this, a Christian version of the Daily Wire. 8 powerful voices are joining our ministry, and they will be creating compelling content that's going to speak truth into this darkened culture. I'm talking about certified biblical counselors like Pastor Brad Bigney. He'll be hosting a podcast on marriage and family. But that's not all. We also have incredible thinkers like Pastor Tim Challey, Dr. Adam Tyson, and you've already been listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford. This is where you come in, because we're right now currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you are able to give will be double. But look, this isn't just about money. It's about partnership. So will you join us in this new chapter? Just visit wretched.org/donate right now to get all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment. Life, then, is full of vanity and despair. Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're back. It's a Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. If you thought Todd was done harassing, sharing the gospel with college students, well, think again. He's still out there on the prowl. So let's get back out to the campus and continue listening.
We're asking people about the holiday that's coming up in just a couple of days. Do you know what it is?
Easter.
What is it?
Easter was basically, you know, the birth of Christ. After he died, when he came back to life, I guess that's what Easter is. I haven't been to church in a while, so it's kind of like a wild, you know, wild guess.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you believe that story?
Yeah. Yeah.
How come?
Basically, because, you know, I was raised off of, you know, my family is Baptist, so anything like church related, you know, it's kind of like that's what I grew up on. So it's like I don't really have a choice to believe it, kind of.
You do too.
I mean, I do, but I mean, I kind of feel like it's with like faith and stuff. It depends on more of your family, and then as you grow up, you kind of choose your like path, you know? Yeah.
Have you chosen your path?
right now, I guess I'm still Christian, but I don't believe with everything that other Christians believe at the same time. So it's like, I guess I could put myself in the Christian category. But, you know, I do believe it's like a higher power, but I just don't believe every single thing that's like in the Bible.
Why?
Because some of it is like unrealistic.
Like what?
Just like some of the stuff they ask you to do. Like for instance, we even talked about in art class, like the commandments. So one of the commandments is, you know, basically, you know, you shouldn't like steal from people and like you shouldn't kill people and certain stuff like that. And it's like, if you do those things, it's like looked down upon. But it's like in certain situations, you might have to do that to like defend yourself or your family. And like other people do that all the time in like war and stuff like that. That and then, like I said before, like stuff in the Bible that's like kind of doesn't really make sense back and forth. Like it's not really backed up, you know.
What do you mean?
I feel like there's a lot of stories in the Bible, and those stories are used to, like, you know, teach you right from wrong, and basically just to give you a good principle to go off of to live your life. But some people take it too in-depth, and they end up doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing, if that makes sense.
Okay, let me just try to respond to your first issue, which was the issue that the Bible says you shouldn't murder, but what about a soldier? And we see soldiers in the Bible killing people. There's a difference between the word murder and killing. Murder is when I take your life, and it is not just. You come at me with a butcher knife, and I have to kill you to defend myself. It's called self-defense. It's not murder. All right, you'd be trying to murder me, but I'm just going to kill you to stop you from murdering me.
Yeah, I got you, but you're still killing somebody at the end of the day.
That's true, but there is a difference between an act of guilt and an act of self-defense.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All right, so that seems to be an accusation I just kind of moved aside. Might I suggest to you, Anthony, that the resurrection, which is what Easter is about, that's kind of the linchpin of the whole Bible? Because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the whole thing is a joke, because that's what the whole thing is built on. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, all of those other miracles, anything else that you think is wacky, that seems sort of fantastic, it's like, well, if God can create a universe, and if he can raise himself from the dead, any other miracle just isn't that big of a deal. Easter's kind of the biggie. Good Friday. Do you know what that religious term is?
I've heard of Good Friday, but I don't remember what it, like.
That's the day he died.
Okay.
So 3 days before Easter. As a growing up in a Baptist church, Anthony, what was the reason Jesus died?
Die for our sins.
Why did he have to do that?
That's a good question.
Let me go back to those commandments, and it'll make perfect sense to you. All right, murdering. Have you ever murdered anybody?
No.
Jesus said that if you've ever been angry at somebody unjustly, you know, a driver, somebody who cuts you off, whatever, just you jerk, your little brother, whatever, and you've got that attitude, it's like murdering in your heart. Have you ever been angry at somebody?
Yeah.
So you're a murderer at heart, like I am. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah.
But it only takes one thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, everybody lies.
Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
I have, but I think that was an accident. But now, as of now, no, I don't do that.
Yeah. God is the just judge of the universe. He's determined a day that you and I are going to die. He's picked it. Doesn't escape his view. He's determined your birth date, your death date, and he's written the dash of everything in between. He calls your number. You stand before him to be judged for eternity. The books are opened on Anthony. Not only does he see what you've done in the dark, brought into the light, thought, word, deed, everything. He knows because he was an eyewitness to all of it. Would you be innocent or guilty?
Would I be innocent or guilty? Well, if you believe in God, if I repent for my sins before that date, that like exact date, then no, I wouldn't be guilty. But if I didn't, then yeah.
That's pretty warm. It's not cold, but it's not hot yet. Yeah. If a criminal just said, Judge, I repent, I'm not going to do it anymore, he'd go, well, good, you shouldn't do it anymore, but you're still guilty. Mm-hmm. How can God let a criminal like you go?
I don't think it's about letting you go. I think it's like, it's almost like forgiveness almost. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that. Yeah. But how can God forgive you? See, if a judge just goes, you know what, Anthony, he's a nice young man, I'm going to let him go. You'd go, you're a corrupt judge. Yeah. How can God let you go?
Well, it's basically, it's supposed to be like God is supposed to forgive you, because when you repent for your sins, you're actually like, you know, you're doing it willingly, like yourself. So that means you 100% believe in, you're not going to do whatever you did. So like, let's say I go steal something and then I repent for my sins that I stole something. That means I'm basically never going to steal again. And it's supposed to be a genuine commitment. So that's why he can forgive you, because you're saying you're never going to do it again and you're acknowledging that you did wrong.
Just let's go back into the earthly courtroom for a minute. You're guilty. We're standing before the judge. Judge, I'm not going to do it again, and I really, really mean it. The judge is going to say, Anthony, you shouldn't do those things ever again, but you've got a fine to pay. You've got to pay your debt. Let's go to God's courtroom in the sky, if you will. You've got a debt. You've got to make a payment for your crimes. How can God forgive you and let you go and be released from his courtroom of justice? Who paid your fine, Anthony?
Nobody. Nobody paid your fine.
What is Good Friday?
You said Good Friday was the day that Jesus came back.
No, it's the day that he died, and you even said it. Why did Jesus die?
He died for our sins.
That's who paid your fine. Jesus died so you could be forgiven. God is good, and he's rich in mercy, but he's just, and he can't just let people go. Because that's what a corrupt judge does, and God isn't corrupt. So God, in order to be just, and the justifier of those who will believe in him, sent his son to take your punishment. That's what he did. He was beaten and whooped and scourged and spat on and hung on a cross. He was receiving the wrath that you and I deserve so that our court case can be dismissed. He rose from the dead, which is God's exclamation point. It is true. It really happened. Your debt can be paid if, and you're using the right language, if you will repent, turn from your sins, and place your faith in Jesus Christ. God says, I'll forgive all of your sins, past, present, future. When you die, you will be seen as not guilty because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is going to be credited to your account. That's what Good Friday and Easter are about. Here's the question, Anthony. Is what I just said to you true or false?
About him dying for our sins? If you believe, then yeah, that's true. If you don't believe, it's not true.
I believe that guy in the blue sweatshirt is actually God. And if I wear a blue sweatshirt when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with that guy, and we're all going to be wearing blue sweatshirts. That's what I believe. Is my belief true?
No.
See, belief doesn't matter. The question is the object of faith,
yeah.
All right? So the question for you is what I just shared with you true or false?
See, but then too, at the same time, if you're supposed to be a believer, it's not really about the object for you. You know what I'm saying? It's more of like the faith. I mean, I guess it's the object when it comes to like you dying or stuff like that, but I don't think people think of it that deep when they're doing it.
Well, they might not think of it deep, yeah. But the question is Jesus an actual historical figure? Is he truly God in flesh? Did he really get crucified? Did he really rise from the dead?
And I can't really answer that, though.
Well, you can.
Like, I wouldn't have anything to back it up. It would be just the opinion.
No, you've got a lot to back it up.
Yeah.
The Bible. You've got eyewitness accounts. You've got 500 people who saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of whom are willing to die. This is kind of tricky. But Easter is kind of it's the big deal in Christianity, that 500 people saw it, and when they had a sword put to their neck to say, recant, they all went, I can't recant because I saw it. See, I can believe a fairy tale. I can believe what my parents told me. But if you put a gun to my head, I'm probably going to go, just kidding, don't really. But when you see it and you know it's true, you're willing to die. They were all willing to die, and most of them did. That's what you have to know, it's true. So look, Anthony, look, you're a nice young man, but let me just encourage you. Don't think that you can kind of get out of this with, well, that's up to that guy's thing, that's his thing or her thing. It's either true or it's false.
Okay, so I have to give a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a yes then.
You believe it's true?
Yeah.
If it's true and you're saying, I believe that, my God died for me, a sinner, what should your response be to that good news?
Happy.
Should be happy, but it should also be, wow, Lord, if you did that for me, I will do anything for you. God wants us to be in a relationship with him, to love him, to serve him, because he has been so good to us, and it's the right response. So you've been trying to maybe think some of these things through as an adult now, right?
Yeah.
Right? Anthony, today is the day of salvation for you. Think about what we talked about. Repent, put your trust in his son, and he will save you, and you'll inherit eternal life. I'm glad I got to meet you.
And that's another week in the books of Witness Wednesday. We'll be back here next Wednesday with more witnessing from the college campuses, and we'll be back here tomorrow with more Wretched Radio. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.